This is episode 338, recorded April 15th, 2016. Packard pokes at. Jesus shares his special sauce at BK. I want to thank Seawalker from the chat room for this week's show title.
What time is it? It's Packard pokes at time. Hat? Check. Shirt? Check. Pants? Optional. Mug? Double check. Check us out at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt where you can get all this great merchandise and more.
Do you like Packard Pokes At and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining me from the far west coast is Connie Practical Magic 9.
Is it summer yet?
Well, you know what? If you're seeing this screen and you're not seeing any hair, then yes, summer has arrived, at least here in Wisconsin anyway.
Put on the Beach Boys music and something.
Yeah, put on the Beach Boy music and do all kinds of all that happy horse shit, you know.
Yeah. A lot happier than some of the news. That's
yes,
sure.
Yes. A lot happier than some of the news.
Yes.
Well, we do have a lot of good stories for you tonight, so let's get on to our first topic for this evening. When it comes to the LGBT community, they are being basically put under attack by the religious right in several states, North Carolina being one of them, and the Republicans especially. With this particular thing, the hypocrisy the Republicans are often known for, Jeremy Durham apparently has been exiled from the House of Representatives because of allegations of being of sexually harassing at least 34 different women. The House Speaker, Beth Harwell, had Durham's office moved across the street and limited his access to the House building after the Attorney General, Herbert Slately, issued a warning to declared Durham a continuing risk to unsuspecting women who are employed or interact with the legislature. Now, the thing here is, this fucker is going around saying that trans people are more capable of harassing women and things like that when he's actually the one to do this. Not only that, he was also forced to resign from the House Majority Whip, but still intends to run for re-election. You've been forced out. You think that they're going to say, okay, you've been re-elected, we're going to let you back in? No, they're just fucking force him to quit again. And it turns out this is even the first time he's been in hot water. He once wrote a letter on House stationery to support a pastor who pled guilty to statutory rape and possession of child pornography. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, the GOP base in the state is trying to paint this that he's being persecuted because one of the other things that he's in hot water for is prescription falsification. I guess that he's on Adderall. He uses Adderall, which is normally for ADD. Mm-hmm. They're trying to paint it and saying he's being persecuted, blah, 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 whatever. No, if you have that many people saying you're touching me and I don't want to be touched or pressured. It's sad. I don't know how they're handling this. I mean, shouldn't they just kick him totally out? Shouldn't he be arrested?
I would think that he should be arrested and, you know, at least barred from ever running for that office again.
It's not stopping him.
No, it's not stopping him. And the thing is, this fucker is one of the people behind the transgender people who are going to attack women in bathrooms.
Because they're pretending.
Yeah, because they're going to pretend.
They're pretending to be a woman trapped in a man's body or vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. And because this has been said all over by a lot of Republicans. Louis Gohmert comes to mind. And what's his name? Huckabee? Huckster? he said that, you know, oh, I could just pretend to be a woman. I just have my feminine side today. I'm just going to the girls' bathroom so I can watch them pee. No. You know how many people who've been attacked by transgender people in bathrooms? Zero.
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 Mm-hmm.
And yeah. This fucker has attacked multiple women.
Well, the GOP has known for a year that there have been complaints about this.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is under federal law, if an employer knows or should have known about a harassing conduct and has failed to take action, that is a basis for a liability lawsuit.
Yes, it is. I suppose that's why they moved him across the street, so they could try to limit this. Oh, and surprise, surprise, he's married, too.
Yeah. Yeah, his wife's a doctor, an optometrist, or some kind of eye doctor.
You know, I hate going to the optometrist. Every time I walk in, they say, take off all your clothes. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to the wrong optometrist.
I think they don't know how eyes work. Yeah, they're also blaming the liberal media
for yeah.
his all his problems. So, yeah. By the way, evidently when this started falling apart for him in January,
mm-hmm.
he took a two-week hiatus, and he had medical and pastoral counseling during those 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Doc and Stock. He's responding to your eye doctor's thing.
Oh, does this look bigger with the left eye or the right eye?
Oh, but hey Durham, project much, kettle? Yeah.
Kettle calling the pot black.
Calling the kettle black, yeah.
Yes.
Building a better future, science and technology.
We have talked extensively several times on the show about the privacy that we all enjoy, that our phones have an encryption on them that's built into the phone, especially if you have like an iPhone, like what I have, for example. If I lock it down, that somebody that comes along just can't unlock it and get all my personal information, because like most Americans, I have access to my bank and other sites and, you know, private chats with people. And the thing here is that the Justice Department has been trying to force companies to put in a back door into their phones. And Apple has resisted this, along with several other companies, for example. And they're correct. Apple is correct. They said, because this, if they put a back door in there, then anybody can get in there. Because the government doesn't seem to understand, or they do understand way too well, that the fact is that if there's a back door there, somebody else is going to get in there. This is a actual result of the terrorist attack that happened out in California last year, or was it earlier this year, wherever.
I think it was December of 2015.
Yeah, it was December. Yeah, late December.
Yeah, but the San Bernardino shootings.
Yeah. And yeah. Because of this, they wanted Apple to open and unlock an iPhone for them so they could get in there and get the information that this terrorist might have had. They eventually dropped the lawsuit against Apple because a third party was able to get into the phone using a zero-day exploit. Now, if you're unfamiliar what a zero-day exploit is, it's a vulnerability, is a previously undisclosed computer software vulnerability that hackers can exploit to the adversity affect programs in computers, or computer programs, data, additional computers, or on a network. And it's called zero day because once the flaw becomes known, the software's author has 0 days in which to plan an advisory, any mitigation against its exploitation. For example, I discover a hole in Facebook. And instead of telling Facebook about this problem, I just say, okay, here, everybody has access to it. Now, everybody can log on and take all of Facebook's money as fast as they can before they patch the hole. Which would be great, but I don't have those kind of skills. And I think that would be a felony, actually. But
and you don't have 5 years for Club Fed.
Yeah, and I don't have 5 years for Club Fed, yes. And I'd lose all my stuff. coming to you from Club Fed, Packard Poker. I don't think they'd let me. I don't think it would let me. I don't think they'll let me broadcast from federal prison. Anyway, really the they were able to get into this phone, and it turns out the phone that the terrorists had was an iPhone 5C. They said that the hack, that the zero-day exploit that they used, was only good on that particular phone. And I'm still a little skeptical of the fact is that they, because they say it's just for this particular phone, because it's the same operating system. And maybe they're telling the truth, maybe they're not. I don't know. But personally, I'm still glad that my phone is encrypted. And to fuck the government, to say you can't tell businesses what to do on this. Now, going back to the original part on this, they want to, the Senate bill that they're going to introduce, I kind of went on sidetrack so I could get a better idea what's going on here. The Senate bill wants them to make sure that all phones that are made from here on out, or at least if this bill gets passed, that the encryption that's on the phone is hackable forever from that point forward, which should scare the shit out of you. Because if companies are told that, hey, you can put an encryption on here, but it can't be completely unbreakable, we have to be able to break it. So in that case, why bother encrypting anything at all at that point? And then why we should just all go back to the old dumb phones or burner phones or whatever. Then we're back at square one. Kind of your thoughts.
Well, I don't know. This is it's over my head in a lot of ways, but I do understand that encryption is really, really important. And well, it was only just a couple of years ago that this is maybe different, but it was still data. It was the credit card. It was the Target and Home Depot and all those companies. You know, there was this hack and people were able to get into that system. I just don't see why letting the government have this makes us any safer at all. I don't trust that they could keep it all of that safe. I the fact that they went to an outside hacking source to hack the phone tells me that, I don't know, I just, the government isn't safe with all of our secrets, all of stuff. And you know, I hated the wording in this article because they tried to say no individual or company is above the law.
Right.
Except the government.
Except for the government, yeah. That was another thing I was going to point out, is that it's because Dawkins, Doug's in the chat room there, said, what about WhatsApp encrypting everything? It doesn't matter. They want to have a backdoor into every company, not just the phones. They want it to be illegal for software companies. If you write an app that's, you know, encrypted, then you have to provide a way that the encryption is not strong enough so the government cannot get into it.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Because all of this is about looking for terrorists, and I'm sick to death of having to worry about terrorists and having that be why we're stripping down and going through metal detectors on planes and or stuff like this. That's really scary because this is privacy, and I don't know. I did see an article that an op-ed piece on TechCrunch that said that actually there was a back door, but that's one of the main reasons there was a weakness in the Apple design. That's why Apple didn't want to tell them about it,
right?
Because, you know, acknowledgement of that is, you know, again, now people know. So somebody's going to try and hack it.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. And all for a couple of people who had some stupid fucking idea that their religion was telling them that they were needing to do something, or their personal pride was injured and they needed to kill a bunch of people. And now everybody else has to pay the price for that.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Dawkins, Doug, this comment, it kind of fits it really well. It's a shame that the fundamentalist Christians don't run the FBI. Those folk object to anything by the back door.
The next one is
yeah, Dog and Dog, and the other, and the second one, thank you again for your comments, says the U.S. government doesn't run the planet as much as it thinks it does. It can't tell others what they can and can't use on their phones. And yeah, for other countries, they can't, but they can always make agreements with the countries that are there so they can kind of put that influence there.
Well, what do we expect when we have senators and representatives who don't even have a basic understanding of what the Constitution is, what the Bill of Rights are, or anything else? They don't even understand how civics works in our own country. So mm-hmm. how do we expect them to be delegating all of this stuff fairly and correctly? We're expecting too much of them.
Yeah, we are expecting way too much.
We need to vote up, not down.
Exactly. Get these people out of office. Are these people electable, the ones that want to put this bill into place? I mean, is this a Senate thing?
I was surprised Dianne Feinstein, who is a Democrat, from California, is one of the co-signers of this bill. But I do know that in not this year's election cycle, but in the next one and maybe the next one after that, I don't know, is it like 2/3 of our Congress, of the Congress, are up for re-election?
Yeah, there's a lot of them up for re-election.
We have a chance to clean house, folks.
Yes. Usually I say vote Democrat, but if this woman is a Democrat and she is voting to say, hey, let's get rid of privacy rights, she needs to go. She needs to go.
I don't know anything about her. She's not from my state. I just know that.
Nor mine either. Yeah. But I don't care who it is, Republican or Democrat. If they want to get rid of privacy, then they should be the first ones to be investigated. But you know what? They're going to say, hey, you can't investigate us. I remember, was it last year, the year before that, or sometime, that they found out that the NSA was actually investigating them, and they didn't like it too much. So you know what? Hey, if it's good enough for us poor folk, it's good enough for you.
People shouldn't be afraid of the governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Right.
How long have you had these drawings?
About 3 or 4 seasons.
They're up for sale if you want them.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
Now, NASA has put out a space telescope. It's called the Kepler. Now, the problem with having an Earth-based telescope instead of one that's out in outer space is that the atmosphere has a tendency to distort anything that we see, and we can't really get a really clear picture of the universe around us. It's kind of fuzzy. So we've put out space telescopes out there before. The Hubble comes to mind, but this other one is the Kepler. Now, why we're talking about that one today, because it's been around for a while, it's discovered a lot of exoplanets, is that the space telescope went into some kind of emergency run state where it's like it couldn't do anything, and they don't know what caused it. But about 3 days, it's called the EM status, but it was successfully identified about 3 days later, and they recovered the spacecraft, and it's now stable. Now, this spacecraft isn't like where we can just get on our car or spaceship or whatever and fly out to it, fix it, and come back. It's literally 75 million miles away. So traveling at the speed of light, which is how fast the signals travel, roughly, the signals are sent from Earth, takes it literally 13 minutes to go there and come back. According to the article, it says it's traveling at the speed of light. Now, so if this signal is traveling that fast and then coming back, and it takes 13 minutes. Imagine how long it would take for us to take a shuttle out to go out to fix this damn thing. This is why we don't fix things like this like that. You know, you can't go up to it like an iPhone or something, hard reset it. It's like, oh, everything's all kind of, all fine now. but according to NASA, the EM is the lowest operational mode. But what's odd about that is when it's the lowest operational mode, but it's the most fuel intensive. I don't understand that. I would figure, you know, if it's in a low operational mode, it should be more fuel conservative, not more intensive. But
well, maybe it's because in that lower operating mode, one of the things that's missing is sort of like your air fuel sensor on your car or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, it helps to regulate the fuel.
So more fuel is just going out because it's not being regulated by a sensor or part of the program.
Your car's running on only 3 cylinders and.
Yeah, I can understand. I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. Your continuing thoughts on that?
I can't believe all, you know, some of the images and things that Kepler's found has been have been really fascinating. Just recently found the first Earth-sized planet in a habitable zone of another star. For example, zone where water won't freeze or boil off. And it's weird. I'm like, how do they fix things? You know, it's just circuits talking to circuits, I guess.
Yeah.
Not having to turn a wrench. And I guess it's been up there for 7 years.
Yeah.
But it's Deep Space Network. It's not DS9, though.
No, it's not DS9.
No Cisco.
No Cisco. There. No Odo. No. If you don't know who any of those characters are, fuck you. I don't care anymore.
So, yeah. I just like looking at pretty pictures. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, they are very pretty pictures.
Yeah.
Now, the DSN, which is the Deep Space Network here, it's three large radio antennae that are strategically placed across the entire globe. So that way, no matter where the Earth is pointed at, we can talk to this probe at any point we need to. And what's interesting about this is because we only have a few of them, the fact is that they had to spend a lot of hours to try to get this thing running again. So everything else was suspended. So they could actually, you know, work on this. So a lot of stuff is still kind of sitting in the waiting wings. So that new star or planet that has civilization like ours won't be discovered for several more days or ever now, because we had to dedicate it to the Kepler.
Oh, okay. It might even be something that's moved out of orbit and where we could watch it now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You know, that's the problem when your car's in the shop.
Yeah.
You have to get a loaner.
Yeah. And you might have missed that job or opportunity because, you know, your car broke down and now you have to walk for a while. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Now, what's really interesting is it costs about $18 million a year to maintain operations with this. With that probe. I didn't realize it cost that much. I mean, I figured, you know, a few hundred thousand, but 18 million,
In total, it says here Kepler has cost around 600 million.
Yeah, to start off with, yeah. But a good portion of that was just to get the development and get it launched out too.
I'd opened up the. Says how much we spend on military every
year. Yeah, the military is way more, though. The $18 million a year to put a satellite in orbit, drop in the bucket by comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I mean, you put your money into what you value, and I find it discouraging that that's, you know, what we value most.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that we value blowing shit up and not.
Yeah, we value more things of making a missile and being able to shoot and kill a bunch of people at one time than, you know,
how we
exploring.
Use our tech,
Or hacking
private citizens.
Or hacking private citizens, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do, is we need to hack private citizens.
They're not
more
interested
than
in Uranus, they're interested in your anus.
They're interested in everything that's on your phone. You know, they want to make sure if you have any boobies or anything, they want to see them. You know,
I have nothing intelligent to say about NASA, but I'll make a butt joke, I guess. That's what, I miss Joe on nights like this. He always had a lot to say about this stuff.
I know he did.
Yep.
Contact us by email at ppappodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter as @PackardPokeSat. Like us on Facebook.com/PackardPokeSat. Call our Google Voice and leave a message at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727, and we will respond to it on the show. Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time, join us live at VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokeSat. During the show, you can share your thoughts with us by calling 857-216-3200 using PIN number 35368 or on uberconference.com/PackardPokeSat. For links to the stories, visit our show page at PackardPokeSat.wordpress.com. You can help support the show by purchasing merchandise from cafepress.com/PackardPokeSat or make a donation to the show at patreon.com/PackardPokeSat. If you can't afford any money, why not share the show with your friends and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker, and on YouTube. For everyone that shares and rates us, you kick ass.
What if there's a really bad, crummy guy who's going to jail, but I know he's innocent?
Well, Bart, your Uncle Arthur used to have a saying. Shoot them all and let God sort them out. Unfortunately, one day he put his theory into practice. It took 75 federal marshals to bring him down. Now let's never speak of him again.
You know, the thing about the church is they like to stick their nose where it does not belong. And I think it's about time that the church starts paying their dues. And I'm not the only one behind that thought process as well. A new federal lawsuit is challenging the unconstitutional tax exemption, which allows clergy to avoid paying income tax, which kind of sucks the fact that they got this in place. This was put back into place back in 1954 when the bill's sponsor, Representative Peter Mack, made this constitutionally obnoxious argument that ministers should be rewarded for carrying on such a courageous fight against this godless and anti-religious world movement. I can't believe that kind of fucking, that's fucking bullshit. There, because back at that time period in the 1950s, we were going up against the Russians because they were the godless atheists over there. So the Red Scare, that's reason, one of the reasons why we have "In God We Trust" on our dollar bills today, because of the Red Scare. And because of all this, that's why this got passed as well. Because pastors don't have to, you know, pay taxes, they're not allowed to, at least they're not supposed to be allowed to, have anything to say when it comes to elections or anything like that. But has that stopped them? No. And the fact is that they get to live in a house that we're paying for. You're paying for, I mean, if you're in the United States, you're paying for all the taxes that are going to on this house. They live in this thing tax-free. Because of that, people like Joel Osteen and Baker and the whole rest of those fucking scam artists are living high on the hog because they're bringing in money from their followers, who, you know, the sheeple, so they can live as wildly extravagant as they want to. But they say, hey, you know, it's not our money. God gives us this money, which is total bullshit. Kind of your thoughts?
Well, they say it's that the real problem is just that their income is taxed differently. I think there is some tax that they pay on their income, but the housing deductions and these other deductions that they get, they're taken off of their income before it's taxed. Mm-hmm. And it lowers their income even more. And then they can basically get housing for next to nothing. And then they can go on and deduct their interest and their taxes and improvements and all of these other things on it. And that benefits the churches. And then today it's found that 84% of senior pastors receive housing allowance of $20,000 to $38,000 in added but not reported compensation to their base salary. So the way they structure a pastor's income in a lot of churches is to take advantage of these tax loopholes that they get. And, here's what I think. I think that if we were actually able to have pastors and churches pay tax, we would see a drastic change in how churches operated. I think more and more would become LLCs and would actually rent buildings out to themselves and try and dance around that.
Yeah. Now, the thing is here, though, back in 2013, we did have a small victory, although it was brief. The FFRF challenged this religious income tax exemption, and they won. U.S. District Judge Barbara B. Crabb of the Wisconsin District of Wisconsin issued a strong 43-page decision declaring unconstitutional the 1954 parish exemption that allowed the ministers of the gospel to not pay income tax on specific portions of their compensation. However, back in 2014 of November, the U.S. Court of Appeals threw out that victory, not on the merits of the case, but on the question of the standing. So I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Well, okay, I think that's because the representatives from the FFRF were not taking that deduction.
Mm-hmm.
And so because they weren't themselves taking advantage of that, I guess they thought, you know,
because they weren't doing it, therefore it should be legal. That doesn't make any sense.
No, they were saying that because the FFRF weren't taking advantage of that, it sounded more like sour grapes. And so since then,
oh, I see.
The FFRF co-presidents, Dan Barker and Annie Gaylor, I think those are the ones that we're talking about. They have since filed for those exemptions. The one of the other people from the FFRF has since passed away, but her son is claiming those in his stead. And so they're just trying to make it appear that, okay, we're talking about apples to apples here.
Mm-hmm.
Because FFRF is a nonprofit. And I'm sorry, I was trying to remember all my tax stuff, but I was never able, I only did it 1 year with H&R Block, and mm-hmm. I didn't do things like pastors coming in, because that was a totally different tax code. So
yeah, I get it. When I do my own taxes, and mm-hmm. when it one of the questions that asked, I had a screenshot, I don't know where it is now, but it asked me if I was a pastor, and I was like, okay, no, but it gives me an explanation on why the pastors would give... you'd get a tax exemption on that. I was flabbergasted. I tried to find it again, but I didn't find it anymore after that. But the bottom line here is that the churches bring in over $700 million a year, which is lost revenue to the country. $700 million. Yeah. That's a pretty big chunk of change. We could fund that telescope and several more just like it for years to come.
Our reasons for doing that are very sketchy, and they should be reexamined. And it's criminal.
Yeah.
To allow that.
Yeah, we're letting hustlers and con men run the government, basically, or at least keep their money from the government, which they shouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
The reality of the Constitution is that we have a separation of church and state in this country. And some people in the religious community either ignore it or they don't like it, but they will still violate it at every turn they can and go, we're doing this because you're persecuting us if you don't allow us to do this. Which doesn't make a damn bit of fucking sense. And something that has happened just recently, what has been happening, and I was unaware of this until just recently, a school in Middleton, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Madison, Wisconsin. I used to live not very far from there, actually. At least, I mean, the town, not the school district. The high school out there in Middleton. Apparently, this group called All God's People from this church, that's allgodspeople.com, has been going to this school and giving out free food and Bibles and preaching to these kids. The thing is, this particular piece of land where these kids go, it's like an outdoor pavilion type thing. It's like a public park.
Yeah, it's in a park.
Yeah, it's a
like
park.
It's like one of covered areas you can go to if you want a family picnic, right? Or a family get together, and you have all the places with benches, and you can have a barbecue. So
right, exactly.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, though, because of the way they work with the school district has say of what goes on over there, and they're not allowed to be there. This group that's going in there should not be there. I sent a letter, along with probably several other people, to the FFRF about this, and I actually got a letter back from them to the person that's at the school, and his name is apparently Don Johnson, at the Cross Plains Middle School, or the Cross Plains School District in Middleton, Wisconsin. It goes like this. This is the letter from the FFRF. It says, Dear Dr. Johnson, I didn't realize he was a doctor. I am writing on behalf of the Freedom From Religion Foundation regarding the Jesus Lunch Middleton High School. I'm sorry, it wasn't a middle school, it was a Middleton High School.
Yeah, that's confusing.
It is a little confusing. The FFRF is a Madison-based nonprofit organization that works to protect the constitutional principles of separation between church and state, or state and church, whatever. The FFRF has more than 23,000 members across the country, with more than 1,300 in Wisconsin, including Middleton members. Several district parents informed us a group of individuals has threatened to sue Middleton Cross Plains School District if the district prevents them from continuing to hold Jesus Lunch events at Fireman Memorial Park, which is directly adjacent to the Middleton High School. We understand that these adults hold a weekly lunch event in the park's pavilion. They offer free food to the students, proselytizing students who attend, and distribute Bibles. To our knowledge, this group did not seek or receive the district's permission for any of these activities. In short, these adults are opportunistic, luring minors in with their event with food in order to promote their personal religious views upon a captive audience of students without parental consent. That's very important right there. If your kids are like out somewhere and someone comes up to them, you know, on public grounds, like in school or something, and they start
during during school hours.
Right. It's not like they have much choice. These kids have time only to eat and then leave and then get to the next class. They don't have time to, they're not supposed to anyway, you know, go roam around the city. They can't, they're there because they have to be there. So it's like proselytizing on a fucking school bus. You know, if the driver was doing that, they would be in the wrong because you have a captive audience.
And yeah, the drivers passing out sandwiches and Bibles and
Saying
and playing Christian music and preaching over the microphone. Yeah.
Yes. One of the important lines here is that the city has provided the district a broad lease for non-exclusive use of Fireman's Memorial Park, giving the district joint control and jurisdiction over the park. The lease gives the district the right to enforce all and any of the district's rules and regulations affecting the district students, including the right to enforce all and any part of the district's rules and regulations affecting students in the park. They've also said that, hey, if I'm just going to paraphrase here because the letter is quite long. If you continue to do this, we're going to come up there and we're going to proselytize atheism and maybe Satanism or whatever. We'll promote something else at the same time that you are. So, hey, if you don't like that, tough shit, because we would prefer you just stop, because we don't need to make this a battleground to of ideas out there. Let these kids alone. Let them eat their lunch in peace, basically. Connie, do you have any additional thoughts on that?
Oh, well, it's interesting that I know in all the schools here in Washington State, if you want to go onto campus, you have to register at the front office. Mm-hmm. You have to request. And if you want to bring a group on or things like that, you've got to, register with the school. These mothers, they're saying it's mothers because they want you to think, oh, it's just some, originally they say, well, it's just a couple moms who wanted to have lunch with their kids. Mm-hmm. And they ask their kids, oh, well, what do your kids know about your faith? And they say, well, I don't think they know anything about it. And so these Christian moms got all upset. So they started bringing extra food and they'd sit there and have lunch with, you know, outside with the kids, outside of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not buying this shit for a minute.
Yeah.
And the other thing they don't register, they don't sign in, they don't say we're doing this, right?
Right.
Taking these kids off campus. Number two, the food is not approved, all right? The food could be getting kids sick, and then who's liable? There's a bunch of just basic stuff here that is being ignored, but everything I read on all of these Christian sites connected to this, they're trying to say, well, these are our First Amendment rights and they're just persecuting us, and they, you know, the FFRF should be investigated and all this other crap. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons they say that they wanted to have this lunch with Jesus shit is that they wanted they wanted to counteract peer pressure.
Yeah, bullshit. They're creating peer pressure.
That's peer pressure.
They're exactly what they're doing. They're creating peer pressure. Actually, oh, my friends believe in Jesus. Why don't you?
Authority pressure.
Yeah, exactly. All my friends believe in Jesus. Why don't you? You know, and the thing is that they're going back to one of your other points there is that, you know, well, they don't know what we believe. Well, who fucking cares? Not everybody's asking my opinion of what I care about, but you obviously seem to think, not you, Connie, obviously, but our audience, but,
me.
But if I don't go around, you know, pushing what I don't believe on everybody either. If, you know, if you want to discuss it, fine. I'm willing to have that conversation. I'd rather not, for most part, because it really gets me irritated because, well, reasons.
But I find that it's much easier to talk with people who, you know, who have that open mind. And mm-hmm. I know that it's more worrisome, I think, to family members, for example,
yeah.
that I'm an atheist. It's hard for them to talk about these things. I have to approach it very in a different way.
Yeah.
If they're believers, and I have a lot of family and friends who are believers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just sort of, I don't know. They get offended really quickly. And
yeah.
I remember feeling that way myself. Not necessarily offended, but just, you know, it felt like it was really hard to break through that wall, and I
yeah.
couldn't understand it. Anyway, they're painting it to be just these little gray haired moms or these soccer moms that want to have a sandwich and share the Bible. And
yeah.
It's all homey, but no, this park is actually adjoined to the school. And so there's mm-hmm. questions about whether they're actually breaking rules by having,
they are clearly breaking
but
the
during
rules
during school hours. Yeah. They should.
If you
want to
come, if you want to come in after school hours, when all
yep.
the kids are gone and
when they're going home
and they're already home or whatever, that's, you know, that's,
you want to bring in a bus and say, hey, we're having an event at our church.
That's fine.
Come on out. You know what? Guess what?
I wouldn't get on a bus like that.
Why aren't they doing that? You know why they're not doing that? Because they have a captive fucking audience.
Right.
And they have young minds that haven't been corrupted by
knowledge.
I don't know. Yeah, knowledge. They're
knowledge
still
and skepticism.
Prime kids are prime for this.
And you know what? I wouldn't even let them bring a bus anywhere near there. They would say they would have to be somewhere else off the property. They'd say, "Hey, we're going to put up our Jesus thing. If you want to come to our church after school, I think that in your park, like several blocks away, that's fine.
Yeah,
I have
that's
no
what
problem.
I mean. It's set a boundary. There
yep.
should be a boundary for that.
Oh yeah, you know, because
yeah.
there's a law here in Wisconsin that, or in a lot of other states, that you can't put up a tobacco shop or a liquor store near a school within a several block radius. That should be the same rule for fucking churches. They should not be allowed within several blocks of a school. For the same reasons.
We're going to put our schools out in the middle of nowhere with barbed wire.
No, just put the fucking churches out in the middle of nowhere.
God.
You want to build a church? Fine. There's a field way about 5 miles out of town.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of a swamp. But hey, you know, it's prime real estate for you people, because you people are fucking swamp people to begin with.
Well, you know, you couldn't smell the stink.
Yeah, then you can smell the stink. So, oh, I don't want to go near there. That fucking place stinks.
No, you wouldn't be able to smell the stink.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Torvian for the chairman says, I can bring more people to Jesus and score more points for my Sky Daddy. That's basically what it is about. It's
yeah.
like I can, and you're right, it is a captive audience.
And
the real Paul Marshall, persecution of the Christians again. Them peeps just can't catch a break. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds very much like my high school experience, actually, because I was going during the tail end of the Jesus movement. I had a lot of friends who went to school and were born again and all that stuff. So
yeah.
I had a very safe environment.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
You know, we live in a world where we have to have, you know, things that cook our food, and sometimes things go wrong. That's not always a good thing, but we also have things that help us when those things do go wrong. You know, the fire department's out there. If we get a gas leak or whatever, you know, we call them up, and or the gas company say, hey, come shut this off. That's, you know, they'll come out and take care of that so you can, you know, live and nothing blows up. However, somebody called the Burger King employees in Minnesota and Oklahoma, not all of them, but several of these couple chains, and they claimed to be the fire department, saying, hey, we detected a gas leak at your establishment. You need to break out all the windows so to let the gas out. Otherwise, if there's a spark or something, the place is going to explode and people are going to die. So the employees, or I don't know if it was the manager who said, go ahead and do this, but just to let people know, like most people don't realize that, hey, you're, the IRS is not going to call you, say, hey, you, we owe you, or you owe us money, or things like mm-hmm. that. The fire department does not call you to say, hey, you have a gas leak. And then what they, the prankster did was told them, smash out all the windows to let the gas out. And that's exactly what they did. Somebody was walking by, caught some of this on YouTube, and
everybody's like, what?
And people are walking by going, what the fuck are they doing? When they see employees inside the store, you know, people dressed like, you know, they work there, smashing the shit out of the windows, trying to push the windows out, hitting with chairs. The pictures are great because there's glass everywhere. The thing is that this cost more than $10,000 in damage.
Looks like Die Hard.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Where's John McClane?
Yeah, where's John McClane in all this? You know,
he's swinging through the windows.
Connie, your thoughts?
Okay. Well, specifically, the gas that was claimed to be the leak, high levels of carbon monoxide filling the buildings. So I looked it up, and I'm like, wait, isn't that the thing that, you know, it's kind of sort of this silent killer? Yes. It is. It's the silent killer. It basically, you'll fall asleep and it replaces the oxygen in your blood and it kills you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it is explosive. It can be flammable.
Yes.
But in order for the particulates of CO2 to carbon monoxide, sorry, I'll just say carbon monoxide, to the levels to be, you know, enough to cause an explosion, everybody would be already dead.
Yeah.
Because the first it'll asphyxiate you, and then it is long before it's flammable. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, the level of dough on this, just like dough, is huge.
Yeah, it really is.
We need to, okay, this is a case in point of we need better education, and mm-hmm. we need to pay people more for the menial tasks in life. And it doesn't mean that everybody who does more can't make more, but. They're not. These people are not being paid enough. This is crazy. It's
and make sure that the people know that the gas company is not going to call you. The fire department is not going to call you. The police department is not going to call you and say, "Hey, you have a gas leak."
Yeah, you've got to call them. Or if there is a gas leak, there's more of a general. You know, the gas company would be. Gas company has to come out and shut that stuff off too.
Yeah,
it's like
exactly. They don't have detectors set up in their offices saying, "Hey, there's too much gas going out at this one location." They don't have anything like that. There's no sensors inside that gas is leaking anywhere.
Yeah, there's actually there's carbon monoxide alarms like fire alarms that you can get. And I hope they catch whoever this is, because the damage to these buildings, I mean, I guess they're insured, but I feel bad for the business owners because...
Yeah, I do too. This was despicable. It's funny, but despicable. Dawkins Dog said, everybody knows that if you smell gas, you should light a match.
They wanted it their way.
I think that's poo gas you're thinking of.
they wanted it their way, Packard.
Yes. Blame Florida! Blame Florida! And if we had half a brain, we would give it back to Spain. Blame Florida! Blame Florida! That's what happens when you make a state with sand.
You know, masturbation is a wonderful thing. But the fact that we can do that, it's very healthy for us. Well, we can't do a lot of things with it, you know, except for pleasure ourselves. Or
we feel,
you know.
That's why we feel sorry for the T-Rex so much.
Yeah, that's why the T-Rex didn't survive. It couldn't masturbate. or Arabs, you know, they can't masturbate either. You know?
That's why they're so, my hand.
That's why they're so angry over there. Not allowed to touch myself. Oh, my God's going to go crazy if I do. They're all pent up and everything like that. But this guy wasn't an Arab, but he was from Florida. He was apparently had been masturbating, and he decided, I'm going to go out and destroy shit. I can't see the connection between the two, but this guy, he says that he was vandalizing a home when police stopped him. He said he was masturbating to loud music when he suddenly felt like going out to destroy stuff. According to WFLA.com, the Largo Police Department got a call Friday about a man smashing a mailbox. He was shirtless and covered in dirt, according to the Palm Beach Post. He was later identified as William Timothy Anderson, Thomas. That guy's got four fucking names.
That's part of his problem.
If you got four fucking names, you need to and if masturbation is making you angry, you're doing it wrong. You are masturbating wrong. I'm just saying, you put on the nice music, and then, you know, then you put on the little porn, and then you put on the wah-wah music, you know. That's how you do it. Or you get some people who are getting real happy about what they're doing. You know, that's a good way to masturbate. Not get angry about masturbating and then go destroy stuff. You know, I can see you getting angry because you're the only one masturbating and there's no one there to join you. You know, then, but that's your problem, dude. But just wank it and move on with your life. Connie, your thoughts.
Officers also noticed a flattened tire, trailer tire, a broken window, and a real estate sign, broken real estate sign, and a garden angel that had been demolished.
Oh, no, the poor garden angel.
He must have been listening to some satanic music.
Yeah.
The post says maybe he was listening to Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
So, he's going to be sitting in a jail for a while, I guess, because there's a $7,000 bond for this guy.
Yeah.
Personally, the music that would trigger me to go on a destruction would be Bobby Goldsboro's Honey. No, I won't do that.
Doc and Dog said, you're telling me don't smash up stuff after a sneaky wink? No, yeah, definitely don't. Don't go smashing shit up after. I don't care how long or maybe the reason why he was angry is because he couldn't get to that one final peak. He's like, I just missed it. I just can't do it.
You know, I'm wondering if Ted Cruz is going to tap this guy to come and speak about the evils of masturbation.
They'll point to him as the evils of masturbation. There are a lot of people.
He'll give him pointers, yeah.
Yeah, there are actually people that in this country that are actively fighting against people masturbating. There was a woman who was running for office. I forget where. It was, I think, Massachusetts or whatever. I forget her name. But she says, I'm not a witch, and I don't want people to masturbate, because if a guy masturbates, what good am I? That was one of her actual quotes. It's like, what am I doing here if a guy can masturbate? I was thinking, you stupid bitch. Are you gonna line you're gonna lay there so everybody who can't masturbate can come up and use you?
You know, maybe this guy was really upset because every sperm is sacred, and he just realized all the little babies that could have been. That was kind of sad, actually.
Dawkins said, "Masturbating can be a risky business." Yes, it's. Yes, it is.
You say I'm always talking. Yeah, whatever you say.
We had a comment from our last show, and that's from Joseph Cobal, and he says, my God, Mithras is going to be upset. You don't worship him. Now, we were discussing last week. I forget what it was, Connie. What was it?
not Baal. The other one.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about Baal. Yeah, we were talking about Moloch.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were talking about Moloch. I forgot for a moment there.
There's three of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, we were talking about different gods that people don't believe in anywhere. Well, at least most rational people don't believe in anymore. And that's where this comment comes from. So, yeah, you don't need to believe in Moloch because it's not a thing. And neither is Mithras. Because, of course, Mithras is kind of a play on words for being a myth, you know.
I think that actually was a mythical god.
There was a mythical. You know, so, I think you're right. There was a Mithras, yeah. Oh, anyway, well, most people just call Mithras, you know, myths nowadays. So I think that's where that comes from. I could be completely wrong on that, so.
But, yeah, well, Christians are actually atheists. There's just all they only just believe in the one.
Yeah, they're 99.9% atheists. That's the way I look at it. So, speaking of atheists, Connie and I have been reading the Bible, not for fun, not for profit. Well, maybe for profit. and we're doing this on another podcast called "The Atheist, the Bible, and No Wardrobe," and I think I finally got the goddamn scheduling thing figured out. I thought I said that like a couple weeks ago that I thought I had it figured out, and apparently I didn't. But I think I've got a handle on it now that I don't have quite so many in queue, as it were. But you can find that on on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spreaker. And a new episode went out today. If you're as the night of this broadcast on Friday, so if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday or whenever I get the fucking thing out, you can check that out as well, and give it a listen. We've got several episodes out. I won't say the Bible is interesting, but there are a lot of parts there that when we discuss this thing, is that some thoughts that come to my mind are like, how anybody can actually sit here, read this damn thing, get this far in. I mean, we're not even out of Genesis yet. And the fact is that anybody can sit there and say, yeah, this is the word of God. They have obviously never read this stupid fucking piece of shit. So I'm keeping my hammer close, Connie.
Oh, come on now.
I mean, maybe bashing my brains in any day now.
Oh, goodness.
But anyway, no, it just give the show a listen. It's actually we actually have quite a little bit of fun with it, and make it as entertaining as possible you can do with a 2,000-year-old dusty piece of shit. So give it a listen. Give us some feedback. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. And you can write to us at tatbanw, that's TATBANW, at gmail.com. So, and leave a 5-star review on this show, and a 5-star rating and a review for this show and that one, if you would. That'd be great. So until next week, we'll see you then. This has been Packer Pokes, that we just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.